Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone, touchdown, touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Hello there. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Draft Week. Welcome to One Bills Drive. Hello, everybody. It's One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. I'm John Murphy, sitting next to my buddy Steve Tasker, ready to go this week. Going to be a long week, going to be a fun week, going to be a notable week. We are 3 days away from round one of the NFL draft. Thursday, 8 p.m., Friday, 7 p.m., Saturday, starts sometime in the morning, probably 11 a.m. I haven't even looked that up. But we're here to talk about it, get you ready for the draft coming up in just 3 days. Good afternoon, Steve. Did you have a good Easter, my man?
I did.
Yeah, me too. What did you do?
A little quick trip out of town, an overnight, and visited my son and his wife, and because the local sons were with their in-laws, and we went to see the other son who's didn't have, you know, so we went to see the other one.
Excellent.
So, yeah, good time.
Felt
laid,
like Easter,
laid back.
It?
Yeah, it did.
And what the weather wasn't great here. We had a dozen or more people at our house for brunch yesterday, and the weather was not good. It was cold. It was cold enough to put ice outside and not worry about it melting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, I dumped some extra ice out just as a little test, a little April test for myself. Cleaned out the ice thing, dumped it outside on the back lawn, just a little bit, a little mound of ice.
And empty said, the cooler.
Yeah, out of the cooler. And I thought, I wonder how long that's going to be there. Well, as of 9 this morning, it's still there.
No.
Fully formed ice. It didn't melt. When would it melt? It was 35, 40 degrees here yesterday. Yeah.
Wow.
At any rate, we're not complaining about weather, but it was a good week. It felt like Easter yesterday, even without good weather, didn't it? For some reason, we had a lot of family. We had a lot of friends
over.
We
drove down to White Plains, or halfway to White Plains Friday night, and it was a downpour for 3 hours.
Friday night.
And then the next morning was a downpour for three more hours getting to White Plains. And it was, you know, then it cleared up and was cloudy and chilly. But, you know, so I was in a sport coat yesterday. I didn't have any problems. So we drove back. Yeah. Yesterday it was nice weather on the way back.
Yeah.
Much better. But, yeah, it was a good weekend, though. Nice and restful. It was nice to get away for a minute.
I agree. And, of course, I was off Friday. You were here Friday with your son Luke co-hosting, getting rave reviews. Big marks for Luke's performance, huh?
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it had to be.
We had some fun. We had we did a little thing at the end of the show where we asked each other questions about our careers, and he beat me. He knew more about mine than I knew about his, which was kind of disconcerting for a doting father. But, yeah, it was fun. It was a blast.
Maybe you got to dote a little more.
Yeah, and I should. And some stuff happened. I don't know. Stuff happened. We talked about on Friday. I had a good show Friday. I had
Mel Kiper
Jr. was on, and also Daniel Jeremiah. We had a couple of draft experts on. I was shocked. I talked about it for like an hour on Friday about Mel Kiper Jr. just gushed over Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Did he like him going into the draft last year?
Well, I don't know. See, that's the thing. I don't want to go back and, you know, hang the guy out to dry.
Because
he's certainly in on him now. He thinks he really proved a lot during his first rookie season, was all over him, said, now you got to get him help. Now, you know, all the stuff we've been talking about for, you know, a couple of months. And I was surprised. He really came out and went to bat for Josh, thought he played really well during his rookie season and had high hopes for him and thinks he's going to be a good quarterback, and yada, 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 on and on and on and on, which, you know, you and I have guests on this show all the time, week after week, all these national guys. Some of them are regular guys we have on once a month, and some of them are, you know, come on occasionally. And we talk to everybody all over the country, right?
Right.
Give me a percentage off the cuff. How many guys think Josh Allen is going to be great, and how many of them
– great?
Yeah, how many of them are like impressed with and think, yeah, okay, you got a guy that you're going to work around, and how many of them say, well, you're going to have to settle for Josh Allen at least, you know, if not worse? What's the percentage for you?
I would say 60% like him. Great, I don't know, but 60% of the people, the expert opinions we get in the show, like Josh Allen, respect what he did in his rookie year. And I think most of the rest, 35%, are still in wait-and-see mode. You know what I mean?
I think it's more than that. I think it's more 60-40 the other way, where they're like, they don't have a lot of confidence in him. They understand why the Bills put a lot of investment into him. They think they almost resign to the fact that you're going to have to stick with him until he flops. You know what I mean? It's that kind of attitude. They certainly understand he's not going anywhere yet. He wasn't a complete failure last year. But I just don't get the positive nature of it. And Mel Kiper is one of the few, and the reason I brought that up is because Mel Kiper is one of the few guys that was just, it's like an Adam Schein kind of thing. Adam Schein came on and gushed over Josh Allen, right?
Yeah, so those are two kind of people I was thinking
right.
about.
Right, so there's a couple, been a couple who really like him, but there's a lot of them are like, eh, he's 53% passer. That's about what he's going to be. You know, you guys, are stuck with him until you get tired of him. You know, they're kind of have no faith in him at all. So it's always refreshing when we have a guy, and particularly when it's unexpected, because we were going to talk to him about the draft and stuff, and something came on about position needs. He goes, you got to get some help. This guy did prove to me, and he went on and on, and I was shocked.
Huh.
I guess I'm. I don't know. Maybe I got thin skin.
Did he have?
Did I strike you as a guy with thin skin?
No comment. Did Mel Kiper or Daniel Jeremiah as well? Did they have thoughts on the Bills' first round pick? Like any way that they think? I did see a tweet. I didn't hear the show, but I did see that Jeremiah thought the Bills are likely candidates to try to move down. Right?
Didn't he say that? It's the week of the draft, so everybody's going to move up. Last week, everybody's going to move down this week. Kyler Murray's not going to be the number one pick overall today. Tomorrow, he'll probably be back in the number one spot. I mean, everybody's all over everything now. I mean, everybody's lying through their teeth. Every general manager, every coach is not telling the truth. The Raiders sent their entire scouting staff home and said, don't come back till after the draft. I mean, all this crazy stuff goes on. You're going to start seeing rumors and reports about guys' tweets as 15-year-olds, and you're going to see, like, the Laramie Tunsil. You're going to see videos of guys doing stuff that's stupid, either being drunk or getting in an altercation with the cops or smoking a joint or some other crazy thing that assaults their character. You're going to see that this week. You're going to see the Arizona Cardinals doing everything they possibly can to make people think they're not going to do what they're going to do. Whatever it may be, all that's on. And so it's kind of the atmosphere we're in right now. So I don't know. Friday was kind of, I don't know. It was a good day. I mean, we had fun doing the show, but we're just on the cusp of all this stuff where, who knows what's going to happen? Because everybody's, now they're saying Kyler Murray's not going to be drafted number one overall today.
Yeah. Pete Prisco said that. We'll talk about that.
He came out and said that exact thing. He says, I've got sources. Yada yada.
Pete Prisco. Let me outline the show here
all
first.
Right. Let's not get carried away.
Well, no, we'll get carried away. We'll go there. We'll definitely go there. On the show today, coming up at 1 o'clock, Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus. He is one of their analysts, one of their analytic guys, does an extensive study of the draft. He's got a lot of thoughts on the draft and on the Bills' role in the draft. Coming up at 2, 23 years ago yesterday, Eric Moles was drafted number one by the Bills, 26th overall, I want to say, in the first round. Eric Moles is going to join us at 2 o'clock.
I think 24th overall.
24th overall?
Yep.
And coming up at 1:30 today, Bills cornerback Levi Wallace, undrafted a year ago, but started at the end of last season at cornerback and now is facing really stiff competition to hang on to that starting job. Levi Wallace scheduled to be with us on the show today at 1:30. So that's the outline for today. It is day one of week two of the Bills offseason conditioning program. Voluntary, looked like another strong lineup. I mean, I walked through, I think, the defensive workouts. I didn't walk through it, but I walked around it in the field house. I would certainly never interrupt them. But I bet it looked like everybody was here. It is phase one. It is conditioning, strength workouts, rehab work. They'll do this for this week and then get into phase two of the offseason program tomorrow. But the offseason program continues today here at One Bills Drive. It does look like strong attendance, right? Bean and McDermott said it last week. Lorenzo Alexander said it last week as well. They've got really strong attendance for this voluntary workout period they're in.
It's
right
always
now.
A good sign, too. And you get guys like Starlo Tulele, Trent Murphy, all the veteran guys, free agents from a year ago who are, showing up, going through all this offseason stuff. LeSean McCoy's in town. All these guys. The veterans are really, I think, the barometer. The young guys, I mean, it's like any industry, Murph. If you're young and you're trying to make – you're there.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have no choice. You can't afford not to be, and plus you can't help but not to be. You feel like you're doing something dumb if you're not there, if you're a young kid. Veterans, not so much. These guys sign these big deals. They're veterans. They got free agents. They're professionals. They've proven their worth in the league, and they've proven their work ethic works and keeps them in the league. It's harder sell for them to come in here and – go through a training method that may be very different than the one they're using. But the fact that they are here, a lot of these guys, I think it's a good sign, and it says something about the type of guys they're trying to get. It's a, I think it's a plus. There's no question about it. It's you know, everything seems to be clicking for this club. I mean, they're great attendance. Everybody's working hard and showing up, and the guys you talk to, even off the record, are really excited about where this team's headed this year.
You know, attendance at the voluntary workouts is interesting. We talked about it late last week. It just began to come out late last week that Tom Coughlin, the executive vice president of football operations for the Jacksonville Jaguars, was unhappy that a couple of his veterans, most notably Jalen Ramsey and I think it was the linebacker Telvin Smith, right, were not there at the voluntary conditioning work that began last week in Jacksonville. And he let them know. He said that the two of them should have been there. Telvin Smith skipping voluntary offseason workouts with Jalen Ramsey. Ramsey's agent over the weekend, and I remember we talked about it with Lorenzo a little bit for Thursday, and Ramsey's agent wrote this on Twitter. David Mulugeta said, to be clear, Jalen Ramsey is exactly where Jalen should be in his offseason, spending time with his young daughter and family, training in his hometown in Nashville. In addition, the Jags are fully aware why he is not taking part in the voluntary offseason program. It is voluntary. It is voluntary. And I think players are wise to remember that. Now, the Bills have a collection of players who want to be here. And to be clear, the new workout room helps, I think, encourage players to be here. Right? Oh, they want to see, what? Something new at work? Let's go check it out.
Yeah, they want to come see it.
Yeah, let's see it and let's use it.
Get used to it.
And it's as good as anything they would probably find on their own turf, which is not to say the Bills players won't be in and out. We've talked about this, I think, with Lorenzo last week, right? Players know that it's voluntary, and if they have a wedding to go to, if they have a trip that's been in the works for weeks or months, they're going to go and do that and get here when they have to be here. But I think it's a mistake. I really think it's a mistake for a guy like Tom Coughlin, a veteran guy, to make it a public issue, who's here, who's not here. Do you know what I'm saying?
I get it. And he probably wasn't trying to do that. It was a quick interview. And let's face it. If a question is asked, you have to answer it. And if you're going to be truthful, be truthful. And Tom Coughlin, you know, they said, hey, what about the guys that aren't here? And he said, well, I wish, you know, we think they all should all be here. That's basically what he said. Now, certainly Tom Coughlin has a reputation for being one of those, you know, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late kind of guys.
Right.
And that plays into this. But if he gets asked a question by the media, which is, by all intents and purposes, something that the NFL promotes and wants their general managers and presidents to do, is be accessible to the media. If a question gets asked, the guy's got to answer. And if, hey, what are you about? And say, well, I wish they were, and what's he going to say? I wish they were here. What? That's, and to me,
that's right. That's all
the extent of that answer. And it did. It led to this controversy where the union had to address it. For the players, though, a guy like Jalen Ramsey and Telvin Smith, and I know I would have, listen, if they're going to say, yeah, I wish they were all here, if I'm doing my thing, I'm like, I'm dismissive of it. So, listen, it's voluntary. I'm not showing up. You can't. I don't care. You really don't. And in fact, it's, you know, it's promotes a little bit of an attitude. If it's voluntary, I'm going to be there if I want to volunteer. He's a good. They're both the guys they're talking about, Telvin Smith and Jalen Ramsey. As football fans know, these guys are great players. They really are. They're young, up and coming. Phenomenal players, and they're big contributors to the Jacksonville Jaguars. You'd like to see them there. I'm sure everybody
sure
would.
Yeah.
But if they're not, it's a non-issue. They've proven their ability to be ready when the time comes.
Right, and that's what Coughlin should acknowledge and say, I wish they were here. I'm disappointed they're not here, but no big deal. We move on. They'll be here when they have to.
But he didn't say the no big deal thing.
Right.
He made it
a big deal.
Yeah, this is all – for me, though, it's – you should talk about it because it's an issue, and this collective bargaining agreement is being talked about, stuff like this. This is the minutia that drags you down in the off season. It's the stuff that gives your team this from guys like you and me here in Buffalo about Jacksonville. Now, all around the country, that's the last thing people are going to hear about the Jacksonville Jaguars because they're all worried about their teams, Arizona, Seattle, L.A., you know, Chicago, Kansas City, Indianapolis. They're all thinking about their own teams, and the last thing they hear about is, oh, you know, the guys in Jacksonville, they're not too happy showing up. Yeah, they're not committed, you know. But you know what? When the guys get in there in that locker room, they could not possibly care less if Telvin and Jalen are there for this week. You know, they may show up in the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks when they start doing 7-on-7 and team stuff. They show up for that. It's a non-issue for the team itself.
Yep.
Non-issue. But it does put out there, Jacksonville doesn't have it all quite together. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's that for what it's worth, that's what it is. Whatever it's worth.
That's the message anyway.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about this. The Bills made another roster move today. We got it. And we're going to get to our Twitter topic, our Twitter poll today, and let you. Did I let you know who's on the show? We'll get to that. T.J. Yeldon, not on the show, but on the roster. Running back T.J. Yeldon, former Jacksonville Jaguar, who also got on the doghouse from Tom Coughlin late last year. The Bills went ahead and signed T.J. Yeldon today. 4 seasons in the NFL with Jacksonville. He was their second-round pick in 2015. Had a really good rookie season. Then kind of got backed up a little bit behind Leonard Fournette the last 2 years. But the last 2 years, he's caught more than 50 passes, 55 receptions last year. Yeldon joins the Buffalo Bills, signs a 2-year contract, which is notable. He's not one of these 1-year additions. T.J. Yeldon, who at age 25, is now one of the youngest running backs in the room for the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, 25 years old, only 23 carries, 18 catches in the final 8 games last season for Jacksonville. But look, the Bills signed him to a 2-year deal, which indicates a commitment on the part of the Buffalo Bills. The Bills have Frank Gore and LeSean McCoy, both well over the age of 30 now, as the other two main running backs in the room. I'm thinking T.J. Yeldon has a role to play, at least as a backup, maybe more than a emergency backup for the Bills in the running back room. Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, and don't forget, you see him play. So the guy's 6'1", 223, so he's a bigger size back than LeSean and Gore, too. Gore's, yep. Gore's kind of a 5'11", 6-foot back, right around 210. Yeldon's just a half size bigger than Gore, and that's, you know, it's a little something gives him, and he's a great receiver out of the backfield. So that's you're right. It's a skill set, and we talked about this last week, and I know on Friday's show we spoke about it as well, that you get these – if you don't have this guy like a, you know, like a Adrian Peterson or a Saquon Barkley or something, you usually get guys who have a number of skills or a you get guys who fill a role. This running back does this. This running back does that. This running back does something else. I think the Bills feel like they've got two pretty good, obviously, all-around running backs in LeSean McCoy and Frank Gore. Given their age, you would think that they're going to split some carries, do it a little bit by committee, make sure you always have a fresh set of legs in there with one of those veteran guys. And T.J. Yeldon fits right into that as well as a guy who can come in certain situations and play a role. I think all three of these guys see the field and in significant snaps. And Yeldon, it's obvious to see what he's done in his career, what he'll offer. And it's something in the passing game.
Yeldon joins the running back room, which has LeSean McCoy, Frank Gore, T.J. Yeldon now. Keith Ford comes back, a college free agent from a year ago, undrafted free agent. Marcus Murphy comes back, who's got a couple of years' experience in the league and had some good moments with the Bills. Sonoris Perry added to the roster, a unrestricted free agent signed a couple of weeks ago. So those are the six in the Bills' running back room. Patrick DeMarco is in at fullback. But I think T.J. Yeldon is an interesting signing. We'll talk more about that. Maybe even get him on the show. Love to get him on the show someday this week. T.J. Yeldon now with the Buffalo Bills. That's really the news here from One Bills Drive, along with the start of week 2 of the offseason conditioning. As we said, Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus joins us at 1. Levi Wallace, Bills cornerback at 1:30. And Eric Moles going to join us at 2 o'clock today on the show. Now, the news of the day around the league. We're in an interesting part now with 3 days to go until the draft, Steve, with the Pete Prisco report, who's a pretty respected writer, right, Chicago-based writer. He says, I no longer have Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray going first overall to Arizona, but instead have them taking Alabama's Quinnen Williams in that spot. I think the Cardinals will stay with Josh Rosen and pass on taking Kyler Murray. The Kyler Murray thing began, I want to say, at the Combine, right, and continued, and the Combine was now 2 months ago. And here we are 2 months later, Kyler Murray's gone from the consensus number one overall pick to the point where now a whole lot of people don't think he's going to go number one to Arizona Cardinals. And I don't know what the Cardinals are going to do. I know this, as we approach the draft, as you said, the information, the disinformation will predominate. A lot of lying going on from teams all over the league now, including what the future of Kyler Murray is, I believe. What do you think?
I agree. I And that the fact that this comes out this week, you know, almost points to the fact that it's untrue. You know what I mean? No matter how good the source is, I mean, teams deliberately put out misinformation, deliberately, so as to keep their intentions a secret. I think there's no secret to the fact that they tried to trade Josh Rosen. We have not seen that yet. I don't think there's any question that they put a lot of effort into getting Josh Rosen on their team last year. I don't think they know what Josh Rosen is yet. Maybe they think they do. They certainly didn't have a good team around him. I know a lot of people around the country still don't know about Josh Rosen. They still think he's a top prospect for a lot of reasons. And I think for that reason, there's always been some credibility to the fact that if the Arizona Cardinals don't trade Josh Rosen, what do they do with him? Do they kick all the draft capital and all the value that Josh Rosen is and it has invested in him by the team? Do they kick all that to the curb? Do they set it down and put Kyler Murray in the game into this system that certainly isn't what Josh Rosen is used to running? Do they do all of that? Or do they say, you know what, we've got some things invested in Josh Rosen. He's still a very good prospect. He's an NFL prototype. Last year, he was the one who ran the most pro-style offense and ran it the best of any of these quarterbacks. And certainly he had his limitations, and these other guys had some stuff about them everybody liked, obviously. But let's find out about Josh Rosen, and let's put a team around him where he doesn't run for his life, or he can have some success, and let's get some talent on the roster with him so we can evaluate him. And then we'll see. Because if we stink again, there's still another quarterback class coming out next year that's maybe even better than this one. So there's a lot of that in there in this Kyler Murray yes or no first pick of the draft for the Arizona Cardinals. I think the fact that Josh Rosen has not moved is telling. But I don't know what it tells us. This is the time. And the only reason I say that, Murph, everybody's lying at this time of year. Everybody's lying.
Yes.
Except you and me.
Well, we don't know anything, so it's easy for us to
lie. I'm not. You might be. I'm not.
I'm not lying either, because we don't know enough.
Right.
But I do. I have some beliefs. One belief is the reason why Josh Rosen is still with the Cardinals is that they haven't gotten the offer they want from him.
Right.
They want at least a second, and teams are kind of probably looking at him, we'll give you a third for that guy. You know, it's kind of like depreciation value on a new car that you buy. You know, you put a few miles on him last year, not a whole lot, but now he's only worth a third. A guy who would probably be among the top quarterbacks chosen this year? I don't know about that. Number two, I believe that Kyler Murray is still going to go number one overall. I think that was the plan for Arizona to hire Cliff Kingsbury and to get that thing going, and it came out kind of splashed out there at the combine. And look, as they approach the draft 3 days away, the Cardinals are probably thinking, hey, we need a better offer. We need a better offer for Josh Rosen, and we need to get somebody interested in making a deal with us so that we can get Kyler Murray and maybe get some extra draft picks here. So if somebody wants Bosa, then make us an offer, you know, and we'll trade the number one away. Maybe if you're, you know, San Francisco or somebody up top of the first round, they're fishing and lying. I think there's disinformation out there, but it turns everything around a little bit. If Kyler Murray doesn't go number one overall, then what? Prisco has him going fourth overall. He says, I have the Raiders taking Murray in the fourth spot. And is he still the number one quarterback chosen if he doesn't go number one
overall? To me, that's crazy talk.
What is?
Oakland Raiders wasting a number four overall pick on Kyler Murray. They've got Derek Carr.
Yeah.
He's a good quarterback. He was 12-4 in the National Football League with a pretty good roster around him. And now that the roster's deteriorated, now all of a sudden, Kyler Murray? They trade Cooper, they trade Mac. That to me is crazy talk. There's no way the Raiders use that pick to get a quarterback in this draft when they stunk so bad a year ago. They got three number one picks, three first round picks. They don't need a quarterback. They need other good players. And here's the real story about this is. You keep hearing there's like four or five really elite players in this draft. There's like Bosa, and if you put Kyler Murray in there, there's Quinnen Williams, there's the pass rusher, edge rusher Josh Allen, and then maybe you can mix one of Jonah Williams or Ed Oliver maybe into that group. But that's the elite group at the top. Everybody else, flip a coin. all the way through the second and third round. This draft is very thick in the second and third rounds. That's why you're hearing all this scuttlebutt about teams. Hey, we'll trade down. We think it might be a pretty good idea. They're all posturing like to prepare everybody that, you know, we may not pick at number six, number seven, and the Bills at number nine. They'll be very open to trading down. This draft, you're going to get the same player, it seems, late in the first as you are early in the third. There's a bunch of guys that are quality players that are going to put together good pro careers. Certainly you get that one who's an outlier who turns into a fifth-round Kyle Williams, you know, that kind of guy. They may be in there, but you can get them in the second, third, you know, the late first, second, and early first half of the third. This is going to be one of those drafts.
So it takes us to the Bills and what their draft plans might be. And on our Twitter poll today, we are looking for a prediction from you, the listener, the Bills fan, as to what the Bills might want to do this week. The question is essentially this. Is there one player that the Bills are locked on as they approach this draft in 3 days? One player in the first round you think they absolutely want to have. Not who you want, all due respect, but who the Bills want. And that's our Twitter poll. We're now just 3 days away from round one of the NFL draft. We want you to predict the one player the Bills feel they must have in the first round on Thursday, and why. We got a couple of names for you up on the Twitter poll. Ed Oliver, right now 36% of you say he's the guy the Bills feel they must have in the first round. T.J. Hockenson, the Iowa tight end, 31% of you say he's the one the Bills go into this draft thinking they have to have. A quarter of you, 25%, say no, they're not locked into one player. And 8%, only 8%, say wide receiver D.K. Metcalf is the one guy the Bills feel they must have. What do you think?
It's amazing. Because think about a month ago when we were at the combine, D.K. Metcalf would have run away with this, would have absolutely run away with this. And now everybody's kind of let it digest for a minute. They understand and they hear that, okay, DK was all of that, but we'll just pump the brakes on him for just a minute. He's a very young player, and people aren't as sold on him as they were just 6 weeks ago when we were sitting here. I don't know when it was, maybe not 6 weeks, but the draft, the combine.
Yeah, almost 2 weeks.
Oh, he blew it. He took the lid off the joint.
Yeah.
And now he's getting 8% on our guy that the Bills have to have.
Yeah, so. What do you think? Who do the Bills feel they have to have? And look. And I would vote for none of the above, or what was the last line there? I would vote for there's not just one player. Right. I kind of believe that. Where they're at number nine, I think the Bills, there's players they like a lot, but I don't think they're locked into one. That would be my point. I think they are available to draft a couple, and identifying those two or three at number nine, if you can do that, let us know. We'll take those names from you. But I do believe my vote in this poll would be there's not one player that they're locked into. I think there's more than a couple that they're probably very interested in and very ready to take at number nine overall. But that's my viewpoint. What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Send in a tweet. Vote in the Twitter poll. Send in a tweet. We might read it on the tweet sheet. Predict the one player, if there is one, that the Bills need to come away, that you think the Bills want to come away with, not need, but the one player the Bills want to come away with on Thursday night. Round one of the draft. The one player. Are they locked into one? We want to know what you think the Bills' thoughts are on that. So we'll take a break. Can we do that? Come back. We'll read some of the tweets. Take some of the calls. Predict the one player the Bills feel. The Bills feel, not you, but the one player the Bills feel they must have in the first round Thursday night. We'll be back and do that when we return. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Yes, we're back. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. Got a busy week here. Because of the draft, we've got Thursday, we've got a long show, well, noon to 3, and then we'll be back 8 p.m. on Thursday on the radio only. Did you know that? You can wear jeans and stuff Thursday night around one of the draft. Yeah,
that's a huge
radio only
huge
at 8 p.m.
concession.
As we cover the Bills first round on our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. And then Friday, 5-hour show. The Instigators got the day off Friday. We're on the air at 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. Going to have a lot of reaction to that first-round pick and set up for the second round that night, second and third round, actually.
Here's perfect scenario, Murph. So the Bills stay at nine, pick somebody like, whatever, Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, Josh Allen, one of those elite guys. Something quirky happens when you get one of those guys, and he's on the show on Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
Best case scenario.
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? Like,
well,
that's a given? You think that's a given?
We've done that the last couple of years. They fly the guy in, we have him on the show.
I know, they fly him in. Well, sometimes they can't get him in because he's, you know,
flying from Nashville. They have the private jet.
Well, I know that, but you know how it is. They got to meet the press. They got to meet the fans. They got events they got to go to. They got to kiss babies.
This
shake
is one
hands.
Of the events. This has been one of the events.
Yeah, we'll see. That'd be kind of
neat.
Want
to bet?
I do not want to bet.
I bet we have the first round pick on the show Friday.
All right. You think what if
we did it last year? Right.
What if they trade out a number nine? What if they trade out?
No, actually, Josh got in late last year, didn't he? I can't remember.
Oh, now you're backpedaling.
I think he was on the show. We had him on the phone. Anyway.
I think we got him on the phone. I don't think he was on the show. Like,
gonna need a ruling on this.
And Marshall. I think we did have him on like a week later.
You weren't even here last Friday. Last year on Friday after the draft.
That day after the draft.
Yeah.
You're right. I wasn't.
Yeah,
I was there. I was there on draft day, but
yeah,
I wasn't there the next day.
You weren't there the day after. That's what we're talking about.
I had a thing.
You had a thing. So yeah, I don't know why I'm taking your.
I can't remember what the thing was. A family
must
thing.
Have been critically important.
Exactly. Yeah.
We got a thing. We got a Twitter poll, and I think it's a pretty good one because it's pretty close. Normally, the Tasker theory for analyzing Twitter polls: how close is the voting? Today's poll, round one of the draft, 3 days away, asking you to predict the one player the Bills feel they must have in the first round on Thursday, and why. Right now, on the Twitter poll, 35% of you say it's the Houston defensive tackle, Ed Oliver. 32% of you say it's the Iowa tight end, T.J. Hockenson. 25% of you say the Bills are not locked into any one player. That's where I would be. And 8% say it's wide receiver, D.K. Metcalf. What do you think? Predict the one player the Bills feel they must have in the first round. Tell us why. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Prediction, not your hope, but prediction for the one player the Bills feel they must have. On the tweet sheet, Bill Carr tweets this in, Ed Oliver, the Bills need a three-technique tackle to replace Kyle Williams. Pretty basic and a lot of logic there. I see what you're saying there, Bill Carr. I think you're on to something.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's the one for the Bills.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know if he's worth staying at number nine to get, or if they feel that highly about him, or if he's just the one they're willing to settle for at number nine. If Bosa, if Josh Allen, if Quinnen Williams are all gone off the board, is Ed Oliver the next guy in line? There may be a guy we don't even know about or haven't heard about that the Bills really like.
I saw it on ESPN. No, what were you watching? ESPN, yeah. Todd McShay, mock draft today on ESPN. He had to – Ed Oliver going ahead of Quinnen Williams, the Alabama defensive tackle, by one player, and it was up in 3 and 4. But is Ed Oliver really that highly regarded that he's going to be the third or fourth player chosen? I don't know that. I don't think so. And if I have a choice between Ed Oliver and Quinnen Williams, I'm choosing Quinnen Williams like all day long.
I am too.
But, again, Todd McShay had it the other way around.
Yeah.
Interesting today. They got my attention.
Here's another from the tweet sheet from Marty Rogers. I feel their best decision is to stay flexible. Take the best player or trade if it makes sense. Pass rusher or OL would be my pick, but impact players may be gone at number nine depending on how things unfold. And there is a lot to you think you're in the top 10, but there's still a lot of, particularly in this draft, where you've got something, you know, where there's not these, like last year, where there's five quarterbacks headed for the first round. And you just don't know what's going to happen ahead of you, and you got to trade up, and you got teams moving all over the joint. This is a year – last year was a year where you could see teams trading up to get the quarterback they needed. There was a lot of people in that market. This year, all the talk is about guys doing just the opposite, trading out because they're going to get really good value from the middle of the first to the middle of the third, guys who are really going to be good pros, and not much difference between the good guys and the – you know, there's just not much range there. You're going to get a quality player – and you're not going to be able to break the bank either way. So you're going to, you know, whether you get a late first, 2 seconds and a third is no different than getting 3 seconds and a third, that kind of thing. So you're going to be able to get a good player at all of those spots at a number of different positions. So there's the big feel is everybody's going to move down and stockpile more picks. But they also agree that there's like four or five guys at the top of this draft that are worth it jumping up for. That's the thing I want to
say. You just said two opposite things.
I know. No. There's
you
here's
just a, contradicted yourself.
Most of the draft is – the meat of this draft is between the late first and mid-third. But there are less than a handful of guys at 1 through 5 of this draft at top. That's the only scenario I can see where somebody may trade up to get one of those guys. That's the only way. If you get through number 5 of this draft, I don't think anybody's trading up for anybody. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying there, yeah.
So, I don't know. I think the only thing that would excite me about this, that would really catch me off guard, that I'd be really, really excited about, is if the Bills traded up into the top 5. from number nine. Somehow, some way, for some reason, they did that to get one of those difference maker guys, Josh Allen, Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, maybe offensive tackle like Jonah Williams or one of those guys. I don't even know who the other, and they don't need Kyler Murray. So if they did that, that's be the only thing that would really get me excited about it.
What, other if they traded up?
Yeah, other than that,
you're bored by the draft? Is that what
I kind of am, because I think I can see him taking Ed Oliver at number nine, T.J. Hockenson at number five, the tackle from Washington there. I could see him taking the corner from Notre Dame there. I mean, all these guys, I don't get, and if they take any of those guys, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I don't have one of those guys after those top three or four guys that I'm like, wow, gee, I hope they take this guy. They're all the same level of ability. It just depends on what position they play is the only difference, and none of that really gets me going. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I don't feel that way, but I understand what you're saying.
All right, so what? Well, how do you feel then? About number
first
nine?
First of all, I trust they will get a good player. I know they will.
I know they will.
And as I said in answer to the poll, I don't think they're locked into one guy. I think they are ready and will be ready on Thursday night at 8 p.m. or whenever their selection is. They will be ready to get one of their guys. And I don't think they are desperately in need of or really in want of one guy. And nobody really in this draft. But that's what we're asking you to predict. And we'll take your calls on this issue. We will take your tweets on this issue. What do you think? Predict the one player the Bills feel they must have in the first round. Maybe you don't think there is one. We'll take that as a response as well. On the tweet sheet from Nick, says, can't be locked in. If this draft is as deep as they say in defensive linemen, then the Bills can grab a BPA, best player available, wide receiver, tight end, or defensive end, defensive tackle, and maybe an offensive lineman. But an immediate impact player is a must. That's an interesting thought there, Nick. I would think they probably, and maybe this goes to my answer, not locked, they probably have a group of players they feel can make immediate impacts at tight end, at wide receiver, on the defensive line, at offensive tackle. Maybe there's four. Maybe there's four guys that they think this guy can play this year and deep into the future as well. I'm saying this maybe, but I don't think they're locked into one. I'm thinking they're probably locked into four or five at a couple of positions where they need a little help and feel like that person can contribute right away. That, to me, would be the smart way to do it, not to get locked in to say, we desperately need T.J. Hockenson. We desperately need Ed Oliver. I don't think there is that guy for them, but right. I could be wrong.
I totally agree. I think once you get to number nine in this draft, and I just said, I've been saying it, and I hope I can make it clear, and I hope everybody gets what I'm saying. I just don't think there's a guy that jumps up ahead of all these other guys. Now, certainly if one of those top three or four that we know about falls down, of course, but I don't think the rest of them, whether it's Andre Dillard, the offensive tackle from Washington, or T.J. Hockenson, the tight end, or Ed Oliver, one of these other guys, or Montez Sweat, one of those guys. All of those guys are, they're the same quality of player. Certainly the Bills have a need at different positions, but they have a need at D-tackle, defensive end, offensive line, tight end. They got a need at all those places. They could plug that guy in right away and he could contribute. So whichever guy they pick, I don't know that the guy they pick at number nine is going to be any better than what some other team picks at number 27. The Raiders have 24 and 27. Whatever they do. You know what I'm saying? I just don't think being in the top 10 of this draft is worth it once you get past the top three or four. I think I'd rather have more second and third round picks than I would that top 10 pick.
Hmm.
That's the way this draft is being characterized by a lot of people around the NFL, scouts, GMs, all of that stuff. And I don't know what our guys think about it, what Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott think, but I do know the atmosphere around the league is, hey, man, everybody's ready to trade down if you want. Not too many people are into trading up.
I want you to predict the one player the Bills feel they must have in the first round on Thursday night. A couple of phone calls here. Ivan in Buffalo. Go ahead, Ivan. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Okay.
Good.
We're doing well.
Great. Steve, about 3 weeks ago, you had mentioned that the Bills should take a player that will be an impact player. And if the Bills saw that guy, they should take him at number nine. And I think that the Bills should draft DK Metcalf, and here's why. Okay, so he's a big guy, almost 6'4", 6'3" and a quarter. He runs a 4'4". 4.33 and a 40. He's a very powerful and physical receiver. The Bills haven't had that type of receiver on our team, probably since maybe Sammy Watkins, although he stayed injured. But here's a guy that stays in shape. And one of the things that we learned in the offseason is that Brandon Bean has stated that the Bills didn't need a true number one, but yet and still he went out and tried to get that number one guy through the guy from Pittsburgh.
Antonio Brown, yeah.
Antonio Brown, yeah.
Antonio Brown, yes. And so to me, I think if there's still a glaring hole on the Bills' offense, I think that it will be at that number one wide receiver position. Now, many of the scouts say last year that Josh Allen, you know what I'm saying, will be a project, and, you know, some even had him falling out the first round to the second round, and a lot of them said that, you know, it's going to take him a long time to be able to, you know, to acclimate himself to the NFL. And here now you're starting to hear similar things about, you know, about DK Metcalf. You know, they say, oh, well, you know, he can't run routes, he can't do this, he can't do that, he's probably too big for his position to play and get off the line and be explosive. Well, he sort of reminds me of David Boston, if you guys remember him back in the days. He was a big receiver that could run routes, and it was a whole lot of stuff said about him. I think that the Bills is going to draft DK Metcalf. I don't think that they're listening to all the other stuff that's being said around about him. I mean, when you got a guy that's his size and explosive, he can make a difference. He can make an impact.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and it sounds you are advocating DK Metcalf, and that's fine. Our question was who the Bills feel they must have. And just to kind of summarize, are you indicating, do you believe that the pursuit of Antonio Brown leads you to believe that maybe DK Metcalf is their choice because of what they were looking at with Antonio Brown, and that's what the player they need, they feel they need to get on Thursday night?
Exactly, because they still don't have that number one guy.
Yeah, that's a good. That's good. An interesting point.
It's a good line of logic, Ivan. I know what you're saying, and it makes a lot of sense because if they were going to get a guy like that, it points to the fact that they still think they need a guy like that.
Yeah.
Even with John Brown and Cole Beasley in the fold. Okay, you know, I can see it, and it does point to that. I don't know either. That's a really good. It's a good line of reasoning, and it does. There are some things that point to that, and it's easy to see that line of thought continuing through the organization. Josh Allen is still the focal point of everything that happens in this building, right? I mean, I could say too. That when they get all the offensive linemen in for this next week or so and this before the draft, they'll get a look at all those guys. Maybe that'll change their mind about who it is. Maybe they still think offensive line is not quite good enough for Josh Allen to be successful. Maybe that changes things and they take an offensive tackle.
Ivan makes a really good point.
Yeah, it does.
To be honest, when we were putting together and discussing and thinking about today's Twitter poll, I didn't think, should we put Metcalf as one of the choices? And we eventually did, mainly because of some of the reasons that Ivan just mentioned. You know, they've addressed receiver, but maybe don't have the number one answer at receiver yet. He points to the Antonio Brown pursuit back in, early March.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's right. I don't have that answer. But that's why I'm glad we have Metcalf among our choices.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well, break here. We're coming back with more. Predict the one player the Bills want to come away with Thursday night. Not who you hope they do, but who do you think they are interested in most? One player, if there is one, they want to come away with in the first round. Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy with Steve Tasker. Coming up at 1 o'clock, some more draft talk with Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus. Coming up at 1:30, Levi Wallace, not drafted last year. We'll talk with him about that experience, Bills Corner. Coming up at 2, Eric Moles, drafted back in, 1996?
96.
96.
Teammate of mine.
Yeah. We're going to talk with him about that experience from 20-something years ago. Eric Moles is going to join us today at 2 o'clock. In the meantime, what do you think? Is there one player? Do the Bills need to come away Thursday night? Do they want to come away? Not what they need. Your prediction, do they want to come away with one player? Are they hot on one guy? Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Go to Richard in Rochester. Hello, Richard. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I think they got to go after Ed Oliver and that TJ, Hookerson?
Yeah. Do you think they should or do you think they will?
No, I think they will go after both of them because they need help. They need a lot of help. They need I think they need two defensive linemen, linebackers, and offense they need an offense they need two wide receivers more and two
and all right, thanks to you and your partner there.
Richard, you need to turn your radio down next time. But yeah, I get it. You think they need all kinds of guys and they're gonna take those guys at nine. And you don't think they can trade down and get enough guys to help him out. I get it. So, yeah, maybe. He's got his eyes set on Ed Oliver and T.J. Hockenson. He thinks the Bills are going to stand pat and take one of the two. I was going to ask him which one do they take first if they're both there.
Here's a tweet from Bills fan 12-83 on the tweet sheet. We asked the question, predict the one player the Bills want to come away with Thursday night. Bills fan 12-83 responds, I don't think they're locked into one player because there are too many variables. You got to move up to get one if you're locked into one player. I'd only move up for Quinnen Williams. If you don't do that, I say stay put and get either Hawk or Oliver if one falls. As always, go Bills.
Who's Hawk?
I don't even know
that guy.
Hockenson, maybe?
Maybe that's Hockenson, yeah. I'm being told that's his nickname, I guess, Hawk.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, okay.
I got to say this. When did we have Cosell on? Last Thursday. His effusive praise of T.J. Hockenson got my attention, Stephen. Actually, you're going to think I'm a loser. I spent a little bit of time over the weekend going back and looking at more video of Hockenson. I see what he sees. I see what people see about Hockenson. I still don't know. Is he a difference maker? I don't know. I don't know. I think he's a good, very, very capable, multi-talented blocking receiving tight end. Is he a difference maker? I don't see that, but I can see how people might project that for him. What do you think?
Well, the thing about him is he's complete. Blocks very well in the run game. He's a big body, too. He's all a 6'5", and built for it. So he's got an NFL body for a tight end. He played a lot. He caught some balls. That's the thing that guys really like about him is the fact that he is good in the running game, can track the ball really well in the passing game, runs pretty good routes, and has some pretty good speed. The big body thing turns a lot of people on. He's a tough matchup, and he moves well, and he's really athletic. So he runs through his routes. He's kind of when he gets the ball in his hand and turns upfield, he's not stiff, doesn't know what to do. He knows what to do with it. So he checks a lot of boxes for a tight end that could be very, very good. He could be very well a quality top 10 pick in the NFL draft. I don't know if he's who the Bills are looking at as the guy. Certainly the Bills are in a position now, you and I know, if they take Hockenson, it's a safe pick. They're not going to have to justify it very much. People are going to say, okay, I get it. You're going to get that tight end. He's a difference maker. You lost Charles Clay. He's not here anymore. You got the guy to plug in and he can go. If they take CK Met or DK Metcalf, you think, okay, now you got your receiver. Now you got the big number one guy. You're going to go. So there's a lot of guys and a lot of places they can go because of their activity in the free agent market where you can really make a good case for any of these guys. And this is exactly where the Bills want to be. The question is, and you and I don't have the answer, is there a guy that outshines everybody else if he drops or if all those guys and all these mock drafts are right and Ed Oliver's on the board, Montez Sweat's on the board, T.J. Hockenson's on the board, D.K. Metcalf's on the board. All these guys are on the board. Which one of them do the Bills like best? And that's the big $64 question.
And that's the question we're asking.
And how much they like him.
Yeah. Is there one guy? Predict the one guy the Bills feel like they absolutely have to get on Thursday night. We'll talk more about this. We're going to talk with Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus when we return for hour number two. Come on back. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.